God invites us into the community through grace before we do anything at all. Indeed, all that we are is through God's grace. So it's somewhat easy to focus in this parable on the following Christ aspect of the parable. Who of us here doesn't want to follow Christ? But there's a hard part of this parable too, the part where Jesus says, "Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." One of our members asked me yesterday at Camp Street, and we had a great group at Camp Street yesterday, isn't that a message for the stewardship season in November? Why don't you just save that sermon for November, and we'll talk about it then. It does seem a little out of place in this season, and yet it's true that Jesus spent a lot of time talking about money in his teaching, in his ministry, in linking it to discipleship and commitment, as he does here. The kingdom of heaven is the only thing he talked about more, and that appears also in this passage. But I must confess that I really don't like that part. I'd rather talk the whole time about following Jesus than leave out that money part. It doesn't seem very practical in a world that requires money, where we need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves and building security, where the economics of these days often frightens us, in a world where healthcare security is such a big problem. I don't like this text particularly in a week like this one because it does confront me with just how much I really have. Because I'm one of those rich that Jesus is talking about. We all are. Living in this United States, despite our income levels, we are living in such a higher plane than most of the world. Such a place of privilege and wealth. Yet despite the challenges that this text brings to us, we do see in this text, in this rich ruler, we don't know if he's young, doesn't say that anywhere in the text, but in this rich ruler we see that he is seeking to be faithful. He sincerely wants to know what it takes to inherit eternal life as he seeks to follow that goal. And the initial part of the answer is reassuring to him because he has kept those commitments of the commandments. The commandments and how he relates, particularly with other people. But Jesus challenges him and us to go deeper, to look deep within his heart and to look deep within our hearts, to strip away anything that might prevent him from finding true life in God and to see God's grace, to address that one thing that he lacks. The journey with Jesus often calls us to move away from all that we have considered security in our lives, to trust fully in God's grace. Jesus does say in this text, "Sell all that you have." It's been interesting to me to see that the commentators on this text, particularly in the U.S., have always gone to great pains to try to reconcile this command with the sense of self-responsibility that our culture nurtures in us. Take care of yourself. Plan for your future. Be prepared for whatever may come your way. A speaker in the economics department this week, when he found out that Andrew was married to a pastor, said, "Your children must be really confused." Economics has a different story to tell about security. Sell what you have doesn't fit well into the equation of what society says makes us secure. And it's not very practical. So surely there must be some other way to understand this part of the text. But Jesus' command is linked to the first part of this dialogue. There is still one thing lacking in your life. We cannot avoid the reality that Jesus challenges us to reflect about those things that we have and the barrier that wealth can put between us and God. We should be uncomfortable and challenged by this word to us. Something is standing in the way of the fullness of life for this man that Jesus intends for all his people. It's a theme that comes up in Scripture before this, for example, in the parable of the sower. And others are those sown among the thorns. Those are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things comes in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. Some of the richest people I have known are those who have very little money. I think, and maybe you have seen that too in your life. Maybe you are one of those people. The Harar family are Wycliffe translators who have served their whole life in ministry overseas in various places. Their family with parents and now three children who are adults and moving out into new arenas, most recently served in Papua New Guinea, assisting those who work with the translation of scripture into many languages. While they have little money, there's a joy in meeting them in their lives and a fullness of their life that goes well beyond any dollars. They have a peace about life and that really makes people stand up and take notice and say, hey, there must be something about this following Christ stuff. We had them to Pennsylvania in a week of vacation Bible school where they served as missionaries in residence to a very upper class congregation that I served in those days. Can we say the same thing about would people say the same thing about us in the way that we live our lives? They have learned through many years that money is not all there is to life, and their lives have been greatly enriched in knowing that through many challenges, including deep, deep health challenges. We may not be ready today to sell all, but we can certainly adjust the ways in which we look at what is essential in our lives and where our energy goes in living. Ben Franklin said that there are two ways of solving money problems: augmenting your means, that is, making more money, or diminishing your wants. Either one will do. According to Franklin, the best plan of all is to do both at the same time. Earn more money and diminish your wants. In this way, you'll live well within your means and always have a surplus of money to give away and work on creative projects. This is indeed a hard saying of Scripture. In those days, wealth was regarded as a sign of God's favor, and many of us see it as a sign of God's favor in society's favor in this society. But there is no way to escape or put a spin on Jesus' words. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. As we struggle to work our way through this, we sometimes wish we might have that problem. This is a story that's contained almost word for word in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but there are a couple of key differences, and they're interesting. In Luke, the ruler is told to sell all. In Matthew and Mark, upon hearing this news, the man, not a ruler, went away sorrowful. And we don't know how he acted upon Jesus' challenges. We don't hear any more about him in the biblical story after this. But in Luke, Jesus continues to speak to the ruler. The man does become sad, like the other men who hear this message in Matthew and Mark, but it appears that he stays to listen further, that it appears that he continues to try to follow Jesus. At least we know that he didn't go away immediately. As we seek to unravel this reality, to live out this challenging, risky message in a culture which glorifies money, we can hear Jesus' words anew. Jesus says, "With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Follow me, Jesus says, and we will find the way together. Jesus invites us into this text to remember that it isn't the things of this world, but in the following of Christ, the dependence upon God, that we find true life and meaning. Truly, There is no one who has pursued the kingdom of God who will not get back very much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life, says our text today. How is Jesus calling us to move forward into such a kingdom? Opportunities abound, I know, for so many of us. And this is good news for us. A church I once heard about defines good news in this way: God offering opportunities daily for education, worship, and service. God offering opportunities daily for nurture, education, worship, and service. We have the good news of the gospel. Daily opportunities to follow more closely as we grow in faith, learn together, witness from one another the possibilities that are before us, and recognize that power in our lives to serve others in the manner of Christ. May it be so in this week as we too journey in this Lenten time to the cross, as we journey towards resurrection and experience this new life that is ours here and in the life to come through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand and read the affirmation of faith as it's printed in the bulletin. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts.